Hello again, and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, an advice and friendship podcast hosted by two comedy writers separated by 3,000 miles who like to get together from time to time so a bunch of strangers can essentially listen to their phone calls. I'm your co-host, Daniel, and I am... what am I? The youngest of three boys, an author of books, a certified reverend, an unmarried, childless writer with no romantic prospects on the horizon, and most of all, a fisherman, joined as always by Soren Bowie. Soren, describe yourself, as I have done.
I'm Soren Bowie. I am the youngest of two boys. Grew up out in the woods. Mountain lions on my deck in the morning. And I am married. I do have a child. Another one on the way. And I don't feel like that makes me a more well-rounded person, honestly.
Really? Not even the mountain lions part?
Well, that might help a little. But having a family. I mean, I don't know that there's anything... like. I can't think of a circumstance in which I could do something more than you could just because I have a family.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
I don't think I can beat you at anything because of it, which is what I'm always thinking about.
I mean, certainly just for starters, a family three-legged race for sure.
Well, I don't know that I could because you probably have the advantage of only having two legs to work with.
That's right. But like that disqualifies me.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know all the rules yet. I haven't talked to the commissioner.
Right. Once again, we're Quick Question, and Soren has kindly decided to take up the mantle of reminding our listeners what they prefer to be called, and so he's going to do that.
Yeah, of course. Our audience, as they refer to be, or prefer to be recalled. You know what? Let me try that again. Our audience, as they prefer to be called, burning the quick at both quest ends.
Wow. So burning the wick at both ends.
Yeah.
And you added quest, like quest end is question?
Yeah.
That's a stretch of question. Okay.
And wick is quick.
No, I got that. Yeah. I've never heard burning the wick at both ends. I'd heard candle.
It doesn't exist. It's candle.
Oh,
but
okay.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what you meant.
That's what I was going for.
Yeah.
Do you want me to do a different one? Would that one,
no.
That one not work?
Okay. No, you'll have to do more in the future. So, you know, don't burn anything. They're all good. They're all equally good.
All right, I'm deleting all of them right now. I feel terrible about these. These are not...
ugh. We're going to get into the episode in a little bit where we ask each other questions and we get answers. But before we do that, we had a little bit of house cleaning that we wanted to do. As some of you can probably notice, we have not had bacon on the show for two episodes, and this will now be the third episode that is sans bacon, and it's for a very good reason. He recently got engaged to his partner, and we're very happy for him. And
hooray, bacon.
Quick Question LLC has a very generous engagement leave policy. So anyone who gets engaged is allowed to just like take 4 to 11 weeks off, and bacon is somewhere in the middle of that.
Speaking of that, I've been meaning to talk to you about paternity leave. What exactly am I looking forward to here?
If you can confirm that you are the main parent, that doesn't mean the one who's going to spend the most time with your new daughter, but just like...
just the best one. Yeah, I
get it. The best one, yeah. If you can confirm that you're going to be the best one, then yeah, you get 20 weeks.
Oh, that's a big chunk. All right. That's great.
But Colleen would have to go immediately back to work.
Hmm. Okay. We'll have a conversation tonight.
Oh, that's good. I like that you're thinking about it. Only other bit of housekeeping I wanted to because we don't call out reviews from our listeners anymore because I forgot to do it. But we did have I saw anecdotally a bunch of engagement on Twitter for our last episode where I admitted that I didn't know how to blow my nose and faked it. And the responses are perfectly split of people who are saying, oh my God, I did the same thing. I thought I was the only one. Thank you. This is so great. And people who are like, Dan, learn how to fucking blow your nose now. Like people who have found an ally and people who are very mad at me.
Yeah. People who are aggressively angry about it. I'm actually surprised to know that there are so many people out there that don't know how to do it.
I've been walking
around in my privilege for all of this time thinking we are all doing the same thing. And meanwhile, you were all just trying to keep up with the rest of us.
Yeah, we were tricking you and you had no idea.
Yeah.
Think of what other cons we could pull on you. You Mark.
I'm sure you dang Mark all the time. It's all I think about. How I'm getting gypped. Am I allowed to say that word? Is gypped okay?
That's one that I've herd is like a racial slur, or not strictly speaking racial, but because it's tied to gypsy. But that's one that, forgive me, anyone listening, I've never actually looked into. I've just taken the first time someone said, oh, we can't use that word anymore, I'd be like, good note. Good to know. Thank you. I never will. Yeah. But I didn't, I haven't actually looked into that, which, and dear listeners, I won't. let's get into the show. Like I said, it's going to be a very, different show because this is, we are, talking to you now from, as of recording for me, this is day 13 of self-quarantining, obviously because of the coronavirus. I think the last couple of episodes we released were recorded before quarantine was in place. And I'm in New York City, obviously, which has the self-quarantine shelter in place orders that have been given. So it's just been just about 2 weeks of working and living in my apartment. I mean, living in my apartment is not different than what I used to do, but staying in my apartment all the time, unless I'm walking Jackson or going to the store to get essential things, or I've been running to avoid going stir crazy and to get some exercise. But that's been it. We, our office sent us home early a couple weeks ago. This is, I'm not telling any tales out of school, because there was a confirmed case in both the building where we work and write the show and the studio where we film the show. There were confirmed cases, so we've all been home for weeks now and filmed our most recent episode in like a white psych, a white screen space that is not our normal studio. And yeah, and we're going to be going forward, we're going to be coming up with some creative ways to keep doing the show and sharing it with people, because, you know, we want to, and thankfully we can do a lot of the show remotely. But yeah, that's been my life here in New York. It's just been locked in my apartment for a couple of weeks. How about
there's
you,
also
Soren?
The element, your show is different than mine in that there's the public good element of your show. Like, people sort of need it. It is how a lot of people get their news. It's how a lot of people at least digest the news that they're bombarded with. And it's coherent. It thinks things through all the way, and it gives people like a good arsenal of arguments, at least for the good.
We try to, and we also did with our most recent coronavirus episode. And I can brag about this because I didn't come up with it; it was someone else's idea. But as much as it was like all informative plus some jokes, we added a bit where it's like you're allowed to take like some amount of time to mourn the petty things that you're upset about. Like, you, like, humans are capable of holding two things in their mind, right? You can complain about the petty, small, very personal, selfish thing that the coronavirus cost you, while also being very aware and sensitive and sympathetic to the larger, global, disastrous, tragic problems that are facing everybody, whether it's job loss or loss of loved ones. But we still included in the show, take 30 seconds to just vent about the small petty thing, which was personally for me very helpful to like internalize and intellectualize. John spent that time complaining about his favorite football team, soccer team, being denied a championship of some kind. I'm so dumb about soccer that I don't even know.
Yeah, I'm trying
which,
to think
which
of what,
team it is. I think it's Liverpool. Right, Liverpool is his team.
Okay, yeah.
And so he spent 30 seconds just like, just very upset that they're not going to win this championship. And it's a petty thing with no stakes, but like, it's also a thing that is felt. And so I enjoyed, like, I did that same practice with myself of like, I had a vacation that was planned for last week that I had to cancel. And just like gave myself just 30 seconds to be really mad about this very, like, completely minuscule loss. And I think while always keeping in mind the big losses and the big problems, you can, again, just for 30 seconds, indulge in the shittiest parts of yourself and what you're sad about.
I think that's a really good thing. You want to feel like it's like the worst thing is feeling like your emotions aren't legitimate. That, like, and that haunts you every single time you feel something in a very big way. That thought is always in the back of your mind. Am I being crazy? Like, or am I being selfish? Am I a bad person for feeling this way? And right. So it is really nice to just have the freedom to say, it doesn't matter. I'm feeling this thing and I need to feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I ended up really laughing to myself about one of my complaints, because it's very out of character for me, and it's one of the most privileged things I've ever been able to say. But it just so happens that I had opera tickets for La Traviata at the Met, and they closed the Met, so I didn't get to see it. And I just felt like fucking Fraser Crane being this wretched virus closed the Met.
I was just going to say, oh, Niles, I'm so sorry. But yeah, Fraser's probably a better pull. Oh, man. Oh,
how are you dealing with quarantine?
I've also been out for 14 days. Mine has been a unique 14 days in that at exactly 14 days ago, I went out on script, which is you have 2 weeks in which to write a script. And so I would be spending it at home alone anyway, but going out and doing things throughout the day to make myself feel normal that I can't really do anymore. And then also I've got a 4-year-old who's home with me. And fortunately, I also have a wife who can watch him a lot of that time that I need to be writing. But it's a really tough thing to do. And it's especially tough to write comedy in a time when everything is sort of up in the air as far as the future of the world.
Right.
But it's been, the quarantine itself hasn't been terrible. We find a lot of fun things to do. I'm finding fun things to do with my son, and then supporting restaurants, things I would ordinarily be doing anyway. I'd be like getting Postmates, or I'd be going for a run, these types of things that I don't want to interact with people in the first place. And so with a family around, it's actually very, very easy, I think. But I am curious.
Quick question. What does your son, has he intellectualized this? What does he think is going on? Not even at an age where like he can notice too much of a difference? I don't know how child brains work.
No, he knows. Because when we go near people and stuff, we're not telling him. You have to give them, we tell him how much space. Like, you have to give him a crocodile. And
that's adorable.
And so he knows, like, you're not allowed to, you can't. We saw the other day, he was on a scooter and I was on my skateboard, and we passed some kids, and he was like, let's go play with them. And I was like, we can't do that. You know, we can't do that. Why can't we do that? And he was like, because of the coronavirus.
Oh,
and
okay.
So he gets it, and he knows that we're spending time indoors. He knows that he's washing his hands a lot more and a lot more thoroughly than he used to, because he sings happy birthday while he washes his hands. And then it doesn't seem like it's phasing him much. And then every once in a while, he'll do something like, I'll be like, all right, we're going to go for a walk. We live right next to a cemetery. And I'm like, we're going to go for a walk at the cemetery. And he'll say, no, I'm not going. And we're like, why? And he'll say, because the germs are out there. And I'm like, oh, okay. There is something going on inside of him emotionally that like he's sort of grappling with, that's hard for me to tap into and be like, and reassure him.
Right. It does sound tough. Is he happy that you're all around more? Or is he's like, this is not thrilled. My style? Okay, good.
He loves it. This is... The fact that he doesn't have to go to school and that we just hang out every day is like a dream come true for him.
At his age, is there any homeschool curriculum that they send you? Because I know like for older kids, I've seen a lot of online classes, like virtual classrooms are happening. And some schools already were prepared for this, because that's progress, I guess. And my friend's sister in her school, they were just given like packets with, this is the information for the rest of the year. Here are your homework and lesson packets for like each student to take home and learn from for the foreseeable future. Is Ronan at an age where like you're actually learning in school, or is that still too early?
Yeah, but it's a little looser with preschool. The stuff that they're learning is, they are sending videos to us. They're sending videos of like walking around a grocery store and being like, this is lettuce, lechuga, these are melons. But they also are sending videos so his preschool has this whole philosophy of like, you don't teach without giving the context for why the kids need to learn it. And so a lot of what they're learning now is they're going through pictures of faces and being like, this is, and they're saying it in English and Spanish, like, this is worry. Like, this is what worry looks like. And it's just a child who looks very, very worried and talking about like what worry means, and then being like, this is calm, this is happy, and going through a different emotions and putting names to emotions, because I think maybe that's probably what he's dealing with the most, is that the first time you feel anything, it feels like you're the only person in the world who's ever felt it. And so establishing that this is common, that everybody else feels this thing, and here's how we all master it, is like very reassuring for a kid.
Yeah. All right. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Well, Dan, I have a quick question for you.
Oh, go ahead.
I was thinking about this morning because I watched the show Alone. Do you know what that is?
It's a show? No.
Oh, yes. I'm just going to stew in this moment for a moment where I know a thing about pop culture and you don't. This feels so good. Alone is a show on the History Channel. You can watch it on Hulu if you have that. And it's what they do is they take contestants, 10 contestants, put them out in the first two seasons are British Columbia, and then they go to Patagonia. But they put them out in the middle of the wilderness. They're not together. They're all separated by about 4 or 5 miles, and it's impossible for them to hike or swim to each other too. And then these people just survive out there with 10 items of their choosing for as long as they can. And they have a SATCOM that will let them call in if they get injured or if they want to come home. And the last person standing gets $500,000. And so these guys are, a lot of these people are prepared for this. This isn't like Survivor where it's just like you pick the people least suited for this thing to do it.
Right.
Everybody is very good at this. They've been doing this kind of thing their whole life. And so some of them build amazing things out there. They build boats and yurts and things like that. And one guy built a guitar. They are dealing with black bears and mountain lions the whole time. You can hear wolves, but I don't think any of them have actually dealt with a wolf so far. And what happens is as soon as they get everything kind of situated, like they fall into a groove, they know what it takes for them to get their food in the morning. They know what it takes to boil their water, how to start their fire, get their shelter in order. Then they just have this time to think. And that's when most of them go home, because it's like this fine balance of having enough to do so that you don't have to spend too much time with yourself. And I started thinking about Dan, my friend Daniel, who is in quarantine right now, doesn't have a significant other in his place with him.
Yeah, thank you.
And you're what's it like to be, and what are you filling your day with so that you don't have to just sit there and listen to your own thoughts?
Great question. And I have lots of answers, and part of it is I don't mean this in like a sad way. I'm very accustomed to being on my own. I have not had a roommate since 2008. I've lived by myself since then and have just gotten very good at it. And I've also over the years had so many struggles with stress and anxiety that I've over time built up a lot of tools to reduce them, whether it's running, whether it's meditating, whether it's reading, or just like, you know, if you live alone for as long as I have and are prone to anxiety and stress, you learn to deal with it. You learn to just be comfortable with silence and be comfortable being yourself and being by yourself. That said, this is more time than I'm used to. Like, even if I feel like I'm coming to this situation as prepared as I possibly could be for a situation that requires almost total isolation for weeks, they're still just like, yeah, how do you fill your day? How do I replace the walking to the office and talking to coworkers part of my day? How do I replace drinks with friends or going to a coffee shop or just like shopping? Any of the things that were like, well, this will occupy an hour of my time. And I've found, I've certainly done what a lot of people do, which is just like watch a bunch of fucking television and in like not a productive way, just rewatching things. I've gotten really into jigsaw puzzles. I've been working on this puzzle for most of the quarantine. Started reading a new book, and probably the trashiest. I'll do a good one first. I've been running and cooking a whole lot more. I've gotten into a really good groove with both of those things, because that's when I have a busier schedule. Those are the things that that fall off first, but now I've been doing a lot of that, both of those things, and that's good. And the trashier one is I've gotten super into video games. Soren, do you know them?
Yes.
It's
I have too.
I've had a Switch for a while that I only really used to play Super Mario World, the old SNES game. And then I was like, well, I've got this thing and I've got so much time. Like,
is that, does that predate Super Mario? What is that?
Super Mario World is the Super Nintendo version.
I don't know that character. Is that?
Oh, fuck you. I'm not going to say it. But in addition to being working from home, last week we had a planned hiatus week anyway. So I didn't even have work to distract myself as I do now. So I was like, well, I have a Switch and I might as well just like play some games on here. And I'm just, they're really good and fun, you know? I've been playing a whole lot of Mario Tennis and it fucking rules.
It can really absorb so much of your time too, I realize. Yeah. Video games are just like, I don't mind living in that world for a little while. And no. I do genuinely feel like I live in it.
Right.
I'm the perfect person for video games.
And when I lose in Mario Tennis, it just says, hey, do you want to retry? I'm like, well, of course I do. Because I just lost and I feel bad about losing. And then if I win, they're like, do you want to keep going? I'm like, of course I do. I feel great. I'm on a high now.
Oh, yes. I wonder if being in a situation like this actually makes you more susceptible to like the addicting elements of video games. Because it's still the work. Like, you're doing the work that you would be doing in an ordinary life. What I mean by that is like you're collecting, or you're like, you're solving puzzles, you're figuring stuff out, but the consequences are so much lower there that's like, yeah, what makes it so that scratches that itch for you, where you're still doing these things that are innate to humanity, but you don't have these overwhelming consequences if it goes wrong. And it just feels really nice to do that. And I bet that's like right now for everybody, it just feels like the perfect time to be playing video games.
Right. Well, I'm sure for a lot of people, it doesn't feel like the perfect time to be playing video games, because I think a lot of people are sad and scared. I don't need to call you out on that.
I just mean in terms of like getting away from the sad and scaredness.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. What else have I been doing? I've been, there's been such a jump in conversations and communications with people in my life, which is nice. Like, certainly I've been on the phone with my family, I think probably the regular amount. We're a pretty communicative family that way, because we've been separated by states and distances for a while. But also just like friends that I've known forever. We now have a weekly Zoom chat where we get together and just like catch each other up and boost each other up and have some like a virtual happy hour. I have one of those with coworkers, and it just and of course just text and Instagram private messages from people that I haven't talked to in a while, because it's funny to try to get a sense of where you stand with a person based on how long it took them to reach out to you during the quarantine. Because like, there are some people that I was talking to immediately, and then someone like 6 days in where they're like, hey stranger, what's going on? And I just thought, oh wow, you've exhausted all your other phone contacts. That's cool. That's cool. Why? When I went on a Bumble date in 2017.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I haven't really reached out to many people. Some people have reached out to me, and I'm actually very thankful that they did. Like, there's people who used to work on Crack, there's a Discord where we're all kind of like, we just go in and we talk to each other about whatever.
Yeah.
And I didn't, at the time, I thought, when I was invited, I was like, oh yeah, okay, fine. I'll accept this, but I've done WhatsApp before. I do it for a day and then I'm done with it. Like, I've done that kind of stuff. And this is the first one that I actually go to every single day, and I check in on how people are doing. And like, it's really nice to have. It's a very comforting thing to have these people all going through the same thing as you.
Yeah. And it's I won't call out anyone on that Discord, but it's certainly brought up vulnerable sides of close friends that I'd never seen before, that I feel very privileged to be exposed to now, just because we're all going through this thing together. And like, there are people I've known for 20 years, and we've talked about, you know, just about everything under the sun, but you get into this strange like global pandemic, and suddenly these people that I've known for so long are just like, I'm in a low place right now and I need help. And we're all like talking to each other and boosting each other up. And so like, you know, you think of casual friends and even some close friends just like, this is oh, it's a party when we hang out. It's always fun. And now you just like get this new glimpse into a person when they're scared and confused. And like, I'm trying to make it not sound like I'm an observer of this. Like I'm at a zoo seeing something for the first time, but it is, cause I do feel lucky to see it and be part of it. You're just like, your barriers break down and you're seeing new sides of people that you've known for a very long time that you wouldn't necessarily have seen otherwise. Not that I'm trying to silver lining this or anything like that. Like I'd be much happier if there wasn't a coronavirus and I didn't see my friends sad. But
yes, if this was a movie, the trailer would talk about how the less you see of people, the more you see of them. Like, I know exactly what you're saying.
That's a very good punch up of whatever I said that I don't even think had a period in the sentence.
There's so much more revealed to you about the people that you know in these circumstances, even though you don't get to actually see any of them.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, Dan.
Yeah. I've also been, quick question.
Go ahead.
I'm going to describe something that I've been doing. And you let me know if someone needs to come pick me up and take me somewhere.
Yeah.
So, one of the things I noticed about myself in the beginning of the self-quarantine was I'd worn the same sweatpants every day for 3 days. And I was still like, obviously I have to leave the apartment to walk my dog and I'm feeding him and feeding myself and, you know, cleaning my apartment. But I still felt off and weird about like just the acknowledgement that it doesn't matter what I wear right now. That was like striking to me and upsetting me in a very noticeable felt way.
Yeah.
And so I made the decision. Well, you're definitely, the rule is you get up, you take out Jackson and then you shower and then you get dressed. And then I took it a step further and I've been wearing a suit every single day, since the self-quarantine has started. I don't have a different suit for each day. I'm still cycling through the same few suits that I own, with full shirt and tie and like product in my hair. Sometimes just to be like, better get dressed up and order steak on Postmates or something. Just the normal things that I'm doing, just like vacuuming, cooking dinner, walking Jackson, getting groceries, full suit.
Holy shit.
I'm not sure if it's, so sometimes, Soren, and listeners, the way my brain works is that I start doing a bit before I completely know what it is. Like
that's normal.
That's a normal thing. Yeah, you hear all these things about M. Night Shyamalan, who was writing The Sixth Sense over and over again, and the last thing he figured out was the twist at the end of the movie that Bruce Willis's character was dead the whole time, and that seems like that's hard to think about because that's so vital to the DNA of that entire movie and this guy's entire career, but it makes sense to me because like something in his brain always knew that a thing needed to happen, even if he didn't know what it was yet. He knew a thing needed to, the art part of his brain knew that this big twist needed to happen, and the rest of his brain just didn't catch up with it yet. And that's how I think about a lot of strange long-running bits that I've done in my life, where I start doing a thing and then trust some part of my brain to eventually put a theme or a name to it. So I might be doing that. I don't know.
Okay.
There's a part of this that could be a bit that I just haven't figured out yet. I haven't like completely isolated what's funny about me wearing a suit every day.
for no one else but you.
For no one else but me.
The area's funny.
Yeah. It also like generally feels good. I've never had to have a job where I had to wear a suit all the time or indeed needed to be dressed up at all. I've been a comedy writer for my entire adult life. We're garbage. So I only wear suits at like
the
weddings,
Emmys,
funerals. No, I wore a tuxedo for the Emmys.
Sorry.
Obviously.
The WGA Awards.
Yeah. It feels really good to wear a suit, you know? I'm sure if I had to wear one every day, like if I was a lawyer or I don't know, a butler, I'd be really bummed to wear a suit every day. But like every time I put one on, it's like, all right, feeling good, looking sharp, ready to take on the world. This feels great.
What time are you taking the suit off?
Let's see. Well, full disclosure, it's 7:11 my time PM, and I'm still wearing it. So right before I go to bed. I like that my last like 11:30 PM walk with Jackson. I still like to have the suit on for that. And then I'll put it away. Plan my look for the next day.
Okay. I mean, you're on thin ice here. I think it's
really?
Okay. Yeah. It's a little, I'm going to say it's a little weird.
One of the things that the part of me that thinks this is a fun bit for mostly no one is, there's been such an uptick in surprise FaceTimes from friends and family. And I love as soon as the phone clicks on and I'm in a three-piece suit talking to our old friend, Rosie, who's like actively putting on deodorant in her filthy apartment. And I'm jacket, vest, and tie. It's like, there's something funny about that. That's just the person on the other end of the phone trying to piece together why I might be wearing a suit.
Honestly, I think that's the bit. I think that's really funny.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if it's just for you, then it's I don't even know. I don't know what to call it because I don't want to say sad. Uh-huh.
But I can tell you're certainly thinking that.
Somewhere in that area. If it's just for you, then like, I've done things like that in my life. I remember as a child, I grew up, you know, in a log cabin in the woods. So like you're trying to figure out kind of who you are and like, what are the things I want to do just for me in this world? And you start doing a thing and then you're like, okay, this isn't it. This definitely isn't it. Like, I'm not going to tell anyone it's my birthday. I'm going to celebrate my birthday alone. And then you do it and you're like, oof, this is nothing without witnesses. I don't know what I'm doing here. But the fact that you have these witnesses is really great. I think that's actually might be the bit is that you do have these occasional moments where somebody will just surprise Zoom you or whatever. And you can just be the guy in the suit.
All right, good. I stand by it. Well, I mean, who knows how long this quarantine will last. And
walking the dog, too. I think that's a really good element to it.
Yeah. I'm surprised that the front desk people in my building haven't asked any questions about it yet because they've seen me for about a year and a half now, looking like total shit all the time. And then suddenly when everyone's quarantined, I'm walking my dog in a full suit. No questions from them. And I know they must have them.
I mean, I as you know, throughout maybe the last decade or even more of my life, I've hid rocks in every single building I've worked in.
That's right. That's correct.
That has never culminated into like and here's the punchline. It's just a thing that I started doing and thought, this feels good and I'm going to keep doing it.
And it is, to your credit, even if you don't think it's culminated, anytime anyone has learned that about you, it's been a great reveal. It was very strange the first time, I guess when you finally had decided that we were close enough friends that you climbed up inside an elevator, punched open the ceiling, and revealed a bunch of nice rocks that you'd hidden there to show me. I was like, this is a very weird thing. But then on the drive home, I was like, that's really funny. That's a very, that's a patient man with a patient bit who hid rocks all over the world, not knowing if anyone would ever see it.
On the last Zoom that I was on with coworkers, we met just for drinks at night, which at first when they suggested that, I thought that sounds stupid. And then we did it and it was very fun.
Yeah.
To be able to see everyone and talk to them. And I had this thing where my son has a stuffed pygmy goat. It's like a stuffed animal, but it's very realistic looking. And I put it in my lap just low enough that when I move, sometimes you would see the top of its head and the horns, thinking surely at some point people will ask about this. It never once came up the entire time. I never revealed it more than that. And that was the end of the bit. And it was just one of those things that like, I thought, well, maybe this will culminate in something. We'll see. It didn't. All right. Well, on to the next one.
Yeah. I've also had some quarantine bits that we can get into. And like part of that was the Zoom thing that I did with my childhood friends. We had like a friend's drink last Friday, and I knew, okay, I'm going to be on camera. So obviously I'll be in my suit, and let me throw in a pocket square too. And let me frame this. So the background is, the window of my apartment. So behind me, you're just seeing like a bunch of, you know, skyline, New York City yeah. skyline stuff. So it very much looks like I'm doing a news report. like everyone is comfortable in their homes, and I have this very serious setup. And I also thinking beforehand, I was like, well, what's a thing that I can take advantage of here that I can't normally do? It's a video, and you're looking at everybody's faces at all times. And so it's got to be something visual. You can play with visual things to punctuate jokes. So I just got a bunch of index cards, and in advance wrote individual words on index cards for things that I thought were going to come up. Weird things like I wrote down butts. I wrote down horny. I wrote down poop. I wrote down a bunch of things. I wrote down a couple of names of my friends who I knew were going to be in the chat, and just like had them in front of me off camera. And then if something came up that necessitated me to hold up an index card that said boobs to the camera or butts to the camera, then I would do that. And it was a fun bit that played really well. And the joy of it is no one sees me write anything, and no right. one knows how many cards I have at any time or what the cards are going to be. And they just know that at some point something might prompt one of these weird visual cues that I've set up because I don't know. I think we've talked about this before. So often the preparation for a joke is the joke to me, which I yes. know, which is why I am a failure as a stand-up comedian, because no one goes to a comedy club to laugh at the preparation that I've done.
yeah. It's like, this reinforces my belief that everyone who gets into writing in their life started their life wanting to be a magician instead. Like, I wanted to be a magician as a child because it's so much fun to do so much work to make the world just magic for somebody.
Yeah, of course.
That sounds too cloying, but it's you know, I don't know an edgier way to put it, but that
sometimes you just want to like just mind freak the world, you know?
you want to surprise somebody with just like a ton of work on only their behalf, and they're like yes. overwhelmed by how much you've done for them.
Yeah.
In a way that is not helpful. It's just sort of like surprising.
Yeah, and it involves a whole lot of time sunk into a thing that might never pay off. I've got a long running bit at work that I've been doing since I started, and I don't want to spoil it in case any of my coworkers listen to this podcast, which they don't. But it has not paid off, and it does take a bunch of effort to do it. And it will be very satisfying to me if someone ever does catch it, because it's sort of like you hiding rocks throughout every building you've ever been in your life, is that I can't really tip my hat at it. You know, I can't show my hand in any way. It truly needs to be an organic thing where someone thinks they stumbled on something that was not meant for them.
Yeah.
And I can't like leave a trail of breadcrumbs. It just needs to happen. And if it does happen, it's going to be great and silly. But in the meantime, it's well over a year now that I've been planting seeds.
A lot of times those backfire, man. That you get a lot of people who, as soon as they realize what you've done, they're almost mad that you've spent so much time on it. They're like, you fucking try hard. What are you trying to prove to anybody?
Do you have a specific for that? Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, not off the top of my head, but there have definitely been times where like I will force the hand where like I'll be doing something for a while. I know that I need several days in which to get it done. And then at the end of it, I'm going to try to do some sort of reveal, but it's not working right. And so I try and force fate, like force the narrative of the world to acknowledge what I've done. And it always ends up being somebody else. You poison the whole thing. I've been doing this thing on Twitter lately where I'm suggesting different movies on Netflix that are different, like streaming options for different genres, like rom-coms for While You're Locked Up, and YA novels franchises that have been turned into movies. And they're all made up titles that just sound like those types of movies. There's no like punchline to it. It's just, I'm making up movies that sound like real movies.
Right. I've been watching them and enjoying them. And cause you really toe the line of like, they all sound like they could be movies in that genre. There's always, you're smart enough to always do one that is like, that should give a person pause.
Yeah.
And that's what tipped me off to know that this is a joke. And it's disheartening to see how many of your followers are not in on the joke. They'll either do like a terribly bastardized version of what you're doing, where no one could be fooled, or they'll do a very like earnestly sincere, like, or you could watch Love Actually. Like, no, that's not it. You dope.
But I don't even know what it is. So like every single response that comes in, I'm getting mad at the people and I'm like, I don't even know what I'm making. And so I finally just gave up on it because I was like, this bit is not bad. I don't know what this is.
Yeah. I've used the quarantine to find different places to hide bits. Like we have friends and I have like a shared calendar for our birthdays. And also if we're going to, we all live in different states. So if we're going to plan some kind of get together, that goes in the calendar, that kind of stuff. And I've been just like editing the titles of events in that calendar with various bits that either no one will see or someone will see at some point and be like, oh, okay. That's kind of clever that someone spent time doing that. Like this is unquarantine related, but a bit that I used to do, I've taught Jackson so few tricks and commands. But in fairness, he hasn't taught me either. So,
yeah.
And we're equals in this partnership. But one
you
of
used
the
to say
I
who rescued
him,
who, but I think it's pretty clear at this point.
Yeah. But there was, I did early on teach him to run as fast as he could with me in a direction, with the command, cheese it. Not cheese it like the snack, like cheese it like it's the feds or whatever. Like that old timey burglar slang. And it was because there was a park near my apartment in Los Angeles where people took their dogs off the leash all the time. Now I never do that, but I did at the time because it was a safe park and the dogs knew each other and would play together. It wasn't like a proper dog park. It was a park. And I taught him cheese it and sprinting because if there was ever like a park employee who would happen upon us or was like in the distance, we were breaking the rules, you see. And I taught him this trick so I could see a park ranger and then turn to like whatever stranger was with me and I was like, oh no, we're not allowed to have our dogs off leashes here, he's gonna be mad at us, Jackson, cheese it. And then we both ran away. And it's like, that's, I didn't even get to, there was never laughter. And I didn't even get to hear the laughter if there would be. This was just a joke. The joke is that I want a stranger to be thinking, did he teach his dog cheese? Is one of his command, like, did they train for like seeing the fuzz and needing to like scram right away? Who is this strange person?
You also have to at some point like slump back over to the person. Be like, so anyway, that's the thing I taught my dog. I wasn't going to go all the way home because you don't have a ride.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Well, we should, this is a thing that I'm self-conscious about just because we've made jokes and also talked about our lives in quarantine being relatively safe. And in my case, almost entirely unchanged. In fact, an argument could be made now that I'm wearing suits all the time that I'm doing much better. And we want you to know that we know that this is a serious and scary time. And we debated between ourselves if we should address this at all, knowing how it would sound to people laughing and making jokes. we apologize for any tone deafness, and we're just going to keep trying to do jokes and making you laugh, etc. And in the meantime, we've certainly been in touch with our families to make sure all of our families are safe. And we've been, well, I don't want to speak for Soren. One of us has been donating, and you can do that too. Feedingamerica.org is good. You can go to donate blood. That's very needed right now. I also, Liz Maupin, you can find her on Twitter at Liz M-A-U-P-I-N. She's a great writer who started this thing a couple of days ago where she had $35 to give to someone over Venmo. And that has since been retweeted by a lot of people. And you're just like one person giving $35 to another, $35 to another, and just like spreading and spreading and spreading. So you can find Liz Maupin on Twitter and add to that tweet. And if you have $35 to spare, send it to someone. It's just helping someone with groceries or medical needs. Just different ways you can help out.
Yeah, it's also a good idea to the businesses in your neighborhood that you particularly like to help them out during these really hard times is places you know you're going to end up spending money anyway. Go there now, or I guess you can Postmates a gift card from them. Getting gift cards from these places that you enjoy that aren't like big box. Don't go get a gift certificate to Target right now. Right. But like get a gift certificate to the restaurants that you particularly like in your neighborhood and help them out during this time.
Yeah. I thought you were going to take the bait that I dropped down.
That I am not donating to anything?
Yeah.
Do you want me to go through some things that I'm donating to? Would that help?
No, signal that's fine.
That I'm doing great.
It's fine.
I'm doing good in the world. But yeah, it's a hard time kind of for everybody right now. So do what you can to help everybody around you. And it doesn't always have to just be money either. Like if you have neighbors who just check in with people and see if they've still got toilet paper. If they don't, give them some.
Yeah.
Like help each other out.
There's been a very nice thing. My apartment building has this, the digital bulletin board I've mentioned before. And it's where people post like, oh, I'm trying to sell this lamp, or hey, I need XYZ. Does anyone have it? Or I want to start up a poker game, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there's been a lot of people who are saying, hey, if anyone, an elderly person who is afraid to go to a grocery store, let me know. I will shop for them. I'll get it and drop it off at your door. No problems. You don't have to pay me whatsoever. And it's just like a very nice, simple gesture that, you know, if you're set up and you can do it, if you have elderly neighbors and, you're healthy and fine, and this is a thing that you can do in a safe way, you know, do it and so on.
I agree.
Yeah.
And hey, I think it's okay to, in the same way that it's okay to feel, to indulge yourself on some petty grievances during this occasionally, it's also okay to indulge yourself on escapism, to have like something like comedy or to take the time to laugh about something. I feel like that's all. It falls under the same umbrella where you, as you're doing it, there's a guilt behind it all. And I don't think there should be. I think you're allowed to take that for yourself and be the selfish in that.
Yeah. I've also found, this also might end up turning into a bit. I picked up my bass guitar for the first time since I broke my wrist way back. I just haven't played, and now I've had all this extra time, so I started playing again. And I'm very rusty, so it's really funny to me to think about my neighbors who were like, hey, honey, did you know this whole time we've been living with this guy who fucking sucks at bass? Never would have known if not for the quarantine.
I just see a man out on the fire escape. Honey, you got to get over here.
He's doing it again.
Can you believe it? This entire time, we've been living next to somebody who sucks at bass.
It's Seven Nation Army. Anyone can play it.
Except him, apparently. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, oh, God.
Dun, dun.
He's starting the track over. It's not the track's fault, buddy.
All right. Well, I'm going to try and find all of our social media information here.
Okay.
But before I do, Dan, this isn't actually something you told me, but other people told me about you. Everyone I know or that we mutually know they've raved about your Bob Marley impression, and I've never once heard it. Would you be interested in doing it?
I feel like I did it for your 30th birthday party. Did I not do it then?
If you did, I was too drunk to remember.
Oh, okay. I guess I can dust it off.
Please.
Yep. This one love. No woman, no crime. See, here's the problem that I'm running into right here is that I don't know enough Bob Marley's music to even say words that I think he said.
Without the lyrics, it starts to get really racist really fast.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to do, here's my impression of like Bob Marley at Subway. Because then I'm just on my own without a net, and that's not good at all.
I don't know.
I'm even good, looking man. At lyrics now, and like, even if I didn't do a voice, I'm looking at lyrics and I'm like, well, I can't say that. That word's off the table.
I'm genuinely having a hard time finding our. Oh, here we go.
Oh, are you really? Okay, I could sing more Buffalo right. Soldier then.
No, that's fine. You was that really? Was wonderful. In fact, okay. I'm curious that you shouldn't have Bob Marley in your apartment during quarantine. And you know, he's dead. This joke doesn't work. All right. On Twitter, you can follow Daniel at DOB_Inc.
What was that joke supposed to be?
That Bob Marley was actually there with you, that I didn't understand that it wasn't just you doing it.
Oh, because my impression was going to be so good when I meekly mumbled dreadlocked Rasta, you were going to say, wow, is that Bob Marley?
Right. That's how unsafe. Did you get okay. him? Yeah, that's and good. Then it was going to be about how why he's there during quarantine. And then it started to become a very long walk because I was like, okay, well, what about what's it like being around a dead body during quarantine? And then I was like, it's too far.
Yeah.
I'm going home.
Yeah.
Okay. On Twitter, you can follow Daniel at DOB_Inc. You can follow me at Soren_LTD. You could follow Michael Schroer, assuming he's still alive, at Make Me Bacon, Please, PLS. And you can follow Quick Question at QQ_Soren and Dan. Our email is QQ with Soren and Daniel at gmail.com. And you can follow or hire or just see our sound engineer and our editor, Gabe, at GabeHarder.com, assuming that site's built by now.
You would think that it would be. You know, I have all this time now. but alas.
Don't feel too bad, Gabe.
Is this the first time we've heard Gabe's voice on the podcast?
No, he's been on before. Yeah, so don't feel too bad, Gabe. We've got a website for this show. And I went and visited it the other day, and it's, I don't know if you're familiar with the Space Jam website from 1997 that's still up. Ours is worse.
All right. That's good to know.
Anything else, Dan?
No, I don't think so. Stay safe bye. Out there. All right. Bye.